Yesterday we had a retreat day for our young people preparing for the sacrament of confirmation that's coming up not too long from now. And those days are always enjoy them very much. They're very exhausting, but I kind of pumped up afterwards actually, and reminded me of back when I was doing campus ministry. We would have these big retreats every semester, and that'd be a whole weekend, and that always involves a lot of sleep deprivation, it seems like, for someone old like me. But anyhow, and at the end of those weekends, we would come back and you'd be worn out. But with the campus ministry, we had in Nashville what I called the Last Chance Mass, which was at 9 p.m. on Sunday night. And so I would get to come back, and then after this weekend of no sleep, and celebrate that Mass at 9 o'clock on Sunday night. I'm not sure it was always the most, liturgically, splendid event or whatever, but we did it. And that was reminding me a little bit about this, because that retreat came from when I'd started in doing campus ministry. I'd never done that before, and I really didn't know anything about it. Bishop Chubby was good at putting me into things I didn't know anything about. That was campus ministry. Then he sent me off up to the seminary. Didn't know anything about that either. But so when I started at in campus ministry, it's always a good idea to go to people who do know what they're doing, and so I went to visit really a really great program of Catholic campus ministry, which is at Texas A&M. And so that experience always reminds me of this first reading, because I flew into Houston, and flying on Southwest, you go into Hobby Airport, which is, I think, if I've got my geography of Houston right, I think a little to the southeast side of Houston. And to get to College Station, where A&M is, you have to go out of Houston to the northwest. So basically, I had to traverse all of Houston. And I remember thinking about this passage. Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to go through it. I thought that, so I sort of compare Houston to Nineveh. It seemed like it took 3 days to get all the way, because it just sprawls, Houston does. But this passage, this encounter, this experience of repentance that we see in this first reading of Jonah preaching repentance to the city of Nineveh, and the people repenting dramatically and immediately. It's an amazing thing. Jonah is a sort of prefigures Christ in this way. There are several figures, many figures in the Old Testament who in some way or another are prefigure Christ. And Jonah is one of the really funny ones, because Jonah was a very reluctant prophet. He did not want to go and proclaim this to the Ninevites, mainly because he thought that God would forgive them, and he didn't want that to happen. And yet this reluctant prophet goes, and he's incredibly successful. They do repent, and God does not, and God relents. And so that's what we have happening today in our gospel, in this beginning period of Jesus' public ministry. The basic proclamation of the gospel begins this way: the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And remarkably, people did. If some, modern, PR expert got to Jesus, he probably said, Jesus, that's never going to go. This repent stuff, that'll never fly. Well, you got to come up with a different message or whatever. But fortunately, the Lord didn't rely on PR guys, right? And so this is the proclamation: repent and believe in the good news, the gospel. And we see immediately, then he goes by the Sea of Galilee. He sees Simon and Andrew. They're fishing, and he invites them to come and follow him, and they do. They just drop everything and go with him. And he goes on and down the lake a little bit further and comes to James and John, and he invites them as well. And actually, they live a little bit more behind. It seems like Zebedee and Sons was a little bit bigger operation, to tell you the truth. And they just leave and go with Jesus, because they knew that Jesus has the words of everlasting life. They had this intuition of what St. Paul says in the second reading. And it's one of the things that I think right now we need to really be paying attention to. Liturgically, the church is presenting the beginnings of the proclamation of the gospel to us. So it's a good time to sort of approach Jesus as if for the first time. But also, I think because these words are very true that come at the end of the second gospel, we're experiencing them right now. For the world in its present form is passing away. We are living in times where we see that happening right before our eyes, don't we? So many things that we thought were just absolutely rock solid and dependable and you could totally count on are passing away. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his good news does not pass away. And so we can hear this gospel. Maybe we have a certain openness to the gospel right now. I've heard a lot of people talking about this podcast that's out right now by Father Mike Schmitz. It's the Bible in a Year. Have you all heard about this? I think it's the number one podcast in America right now, which says something good. I heard someone talking about it and saying, you know, I really think I'm going to listen to that because, you know, when I die and I go up before the throne of God and God asks me, how did you like my book? I don't want to say, haven't read it. Think of all the books we've read. Wait, what's up, God? I haven't read yours, right? And so Father Mike Schmitz and some other people have come up with this way to go through the Bible in a year. And really what prompted him, I was reading something about this. Actually, I know Father Mike Schmitz from back at our campus ministry days. But anyhow, I was reading something that he said that what got him started on this was the fact of his just in these days listening to the gospel. Hearing as people said, Jesus preaching in a way that no one else preached with authority. Jesus living what he preached, you know, going out to those, you know, most in need of God's mercy and bringing them in through repentance. You know, going out to the tax collectors and prostitutes and everybody and bringing about conversion. Healing those who are sick. Casting out demons from those who were possessed. He was like no one else. People encountered Jesus with amazement. And we should too. Because Jesus is amazing. These things that he does really are. And you know, frankly, folks, what do we have to lose? You know? The world as we know it is passing away. But Jesus Christ is the same. Must have been what, you know, Simon and Andrew thought. You know, like, okay, smelly fish or go with Jesus, you know? I'll take Jesus, right? You know? And maybe our choice is even starker than that, perhaps. What on earth do we have to lose? And when you really do encounter Jesus, not only just externally, but in your heart, opening your heart to him every day in prayer and talking to him so that you come to know him better and recognize him and realize the ways that he helps you that no one else can. And you start to recognize more and more really the goodness of Jesus Christ, the truth of Jesus Christ, the compassion of Jesus Christ, the mercy of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ. And to never want to be separated from that. There's a beautiful version of the Stations of the Cross, like it's sort of a traditional one by St. Alphonsus Ligorian. In it, it has this line that repeats over and over again. Lord, I never want to be separated from you again. I never want to be separated from you again. I think of that many, many times in these days. Lord, I don't want to ever be separated from you. You have the words of everlasting life. You have this truth and goodness and power that will not pass away, even as the things of this world do. And so let us hear this proclamation with great joy. Let us repent. Let us, another word that's come to me a lot in these days is surrender. A lot of times we think of surrender as a negative word, but actually in the spiritual life it's very positive. Surrender, it's sort of the equivalent of repentance. Let go of whatever is keeping you from Jesus Christ. It might be your stuff. Well, let go of it. It might be your pet sins. You know, we've all got some pet sins. You're like, I know I really shouldn't, but... Well, just stop right before the but and you'll be fine, okay? Don't, you know, then if you shouldn't. Whatever it is, these old hurt feelings or grudges or whatever, let it go. This refusal to forgive, you know? Surrender to Him. Do what He would have you do. Follow the advice of the Blessed Mother at the wedding feast of Cana, another event right at the beginning of His ministry, where He worked His first miracle. She says, do whatever He tells you. And not only do whatever He tells you, but do it the way He would do it. Do it with His heart and His mind and His spirit. And be set free. Be set free. Repent. And believe the good news, the gospel.